Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another new episode of The Salty Sisters. I'm Brianna.
I'm Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
TGIF.
I have to start our podcast with the question that is on everybody's mind. I'm sure you haven't seen anything about it, but good Lord, can Taylor Swift make it to the Super Bowl or not?
Of course she can. All it takes is about 3 minutes of actual research, and you realize it can be done, not a problem.
And I completely agree, which is why I think it's bonkers that I saw this on the Today Show. Every single news article that I could possibly see, every single Instagram post. Like, do you think it's just enough that we can just have, like, one source of this question? Is it possible? Time, working in her favor. Her biggest obstacle, parking her private jet.
Listen, the NFL will basically part the Red Sea to get Taylor Swift there. So it's going to be just fine, everybody.
Oh, I have this later, but I'll just add it now since it fits. It has been projected that she has brought $330 million added revenue to the NFL this season.
You're welcome, so, Roger Goodell.
You're welcome, Dads, Brads, and Chads, am I right?
Taylor, they showed her celebrating for 5 seconds. Are you people unhappy in your life? Like, it brings so many people joy. Can you just, like, let it go?
If you can watch those clips of them on the field together and be negative about it, something is deeply wrong with you.
Like, they're so cute. I mean, obviously, this is something we're both, we were both clicking on, like, after, we're now 5 days removed from that game. And I was clicking at everything. Like, the first 10 things that came up on my Instagram were all of that them on the field after that game. And I just was, like, relishing.
I mean, I could give two shits about the lip syncing scandal that was the Golden Globes, but I was clicking on, like, every video that was like, did he say he loved her? Did he whisper a new secret nickname?
Oh,
like,
the lip reading.
The lip reading. What did I say?
Lip syncing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, lip reading. I could not get enough. I turned up my volume so super loud on those first couple videos when you couldn't really hear it. And I just loved when he's just like, I'm going to go celebrate the guys. So fucking cute. Like, my God.
And what's so funny about that is, so we were watching those two games over at my house, and that game got over, and you were like, do you think she'll go down on the field at the Super Bowl? And, like, and all of us were like, a hard no, like, security, blah, blah, blah. And then 2 minutes later, you're like, she's on the field. So it was kind of funny.
Yeah. I do think it's cute that American Airlines, like, added a flight to go to the Super Bowl, and it's flight 1989.
And on the way back, it's like 84 or something, his number something.
I don't remember though. Yeah.
I think something like that.
You know, I love that everybody's leaning in on this and just really trying to make a buck off of it, but I'm going to say this again. If you're one of those people who are like, I don't watch football games to look at Taylor Swift, and you can't, like, look past, I mean, how many times do you think they actually showed her on that game? Total, I want to say, like, 15 seconds before the field stuff.
Yeah.
It was just quick little. So, like, what's your problem? Like, what's going on in your life? Is everything okay? Do you need a hug? Calm it down.
I know. I hate to, like, bring politics into it, but it's a bunch of Republicans. They're very upset that Taylor Swift could have a lot of sway in this election.
I mean, let's fucking hope she does. Am I right? Woo!
So, yeah, now that we're, like, several days removed, I don't really know. I'm not really clicking. I'm back to, like, not clicking on too much about them. But I am super excited for the Super Bowl and excited to see, you know, if she can make it and things like that.
So. I keep thinking, I'm like, God, by the time this episode comes out, we'll just know. But no, we still have another full week to wait until the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine how many more things are going to come out between now and then. But a couple more clicks that I did today on the Taylor Travis is they're matching a TNT tennis bracelets.
Yeah.
I am so cute.
Like, Lainey Gossip, my absolute favorite gossip site, I go, they're just like my Bible. They have been doing, like, once a week, like, TNT since the beginning. And I just, it's almost cute. Like, they also call it like a rom-com. So, like, this week in the rom-com, and it's always very entertaining.
I do love, you know, because we can talk about the Dads, Brads, and Chads, like, all day, but it is amazing to me how many people are speaking out in her defense and, like, in the defense of this, not even necessarily the relationship, but just the attention that she is supposedly getting while he's playing football. I mean, David Letterman said something. I don't have any other names written down, but it just seems like there's a lot of people, a lot of football players that are like, nobody, like, cares. Like, she's cool. She's fine. So that makes me happy. I'm glad it's not like 50-50 where you're going to talk to somebody about this and there's just such a high chance that they're going to be like, ugh.
Do you know how many times I had to see Bradley Cooper shown in the Philadelphia Eagles game anytime he's there? Like, a lot. And I don't, like, it is what it is. He's a fucking super fan. Always sitting in the box with the owner. Like, so, whatever.
Would you rather see a quick shot of Taylor Swift in the suite or have to look at fucking Tony Romo's doofy-ass face with his weird hairline?
And his weirdly colored hair. It's just so black.
Hey.
They also, him and her gave a fist pump after the game.
It was in my not clickables about why he called her his wife. Travis's wife, didn't click on it. Tony Romo, I don't give a fuck about anything you have to say.
Wow.
I was going to ask you if you know who is announcing the Super Bowl or, like, you know, who's going to be the people.
Gosh, I guess I just would need to know what network it's on. I don't even know. Okay. Like, if it's CBS, I believe Romo is on CBS.
All right.
But while you go on to your next clickable, I can Google that.
All right. At first, I had on my clicking, like, the selfish talk, like, JT is selfish versus Britney Spears selfish. Like, that's all I really had in my clickables. But so much has happened since then, you know, with his song being released, her fans coming out and just, like, making that song go number one. And then she had that weird apology on Instagram a couple days ago with, like, anybody I heard in my book, like, blah, blah, blah. First of all, Britney Spears, you don't need to apologize to fucking anybody. Like, are you serious? And then this motherfucker goes on whatever he's on and he gives the, I would like to apologize to absolutely fucking nobody. And then Britney goes back on Instagram and something about, you want to take this to the court or go home and cry to your mom like you did last time. My question is Justin Timberlake, I'm assuming this is going to try to be like his comeback tour, right? Is this going to work?
No.
Right.
Everything I'm seeing about this, and I do not click on a lot of these, but everything I'm seeing about this is every single person talking about how fucking cringy this is. And I guess he starts, like, that song. He started that before. He said that before about the Cry Me a River song. So this isn't, like, this isn't, like, some big original funny thing he just came up with. He's said this for a while. And
the timing is interesting. I mean, the timing of it is right.
He's so old.
And he just doesn't
puffy
look,
kind of.
Yeah, he just doesn't look good.
And he looks awkward. And he's trying too hard. And it's just, like, thing after thing after thing. And fucking Cry Me a River is a great song, and I don't equate it with really I'll listen to that song all day long, but, like, I mean, I won't, because I just don't
when I was writing these notes, the song that came into my head was Apologize by One Republic. Too late to apologize.
Ugh,
I know it's a terrible song, but, like, shut the fuck up already. They were talking about this on the Sheena podcast today, which I listened to.
On the which podcast?
Sheena, whoever she had on, I forget, but
yeah,
saying something about how this, like, comeback is just going to fail miserably, about how the comments about him on social media and wherever are so highly negative about him versus, like, positive ones. I feel like there was a time a couple of years ago, because he did say something about how NSYNC is in the studio and maybe there might be new music. Who cares?
Yeah.
But I feel like a couple of years ago, this would have been, like, a headline, like, oh my God, NSYNC getting back together, releasing new music. But, like, yeesh.
I'm sorry. I don't know who his, like, publicist is, or they, like, he could have spun this in such a way that, like, he could have come out so much better than he is, but he's not. And whatever.
And, like, I look at the other members of NSYNC who, like, really aren't famous, like Chris Kirkpatrick and the one Joey Fatone, who is in the Greek, you know, movies, whatever. How pissed are you at Justin Timberlake for now kind of just, like, spiraling on the downward level, where you could have came back with an NSYNC, like, new music, but now it's just nobody cares. So what chances are these people going to have to, like, be famous again, make a couple extra bucks?
I know, like, Hey Lance Bass, don't quit your day job of cameoing on VPR every, like, year and a half.
Don't burn that bridge with Lisa Vanderpump. Jesus.
That's your claim to fucking fame right now, right there. Oh my gosh. And that's something I'm not clicking on. And I'm not clicking, I will just go over those right now. I'm not clicking on Jessica Biel's eating in the shower movement.
Same.
And I'm also not clicking on her trying to hype Justin fucking Timberlake when he's cheated on her.
Multiple times,
yeah, like,
right?
Brushing her teeth. Like, I don't know. I just saw, like, something and I instantly had regret. Like, allegedly cheated. But
right. I mean, he didn't bullshit apology for nothing. But
it's real sweet.
We'll put the allegedly up there. If I ever have to say that in the same sentence of something as my husband, like, allegedly cheated.
Right. Like,
joking. And Jessica Biel is so fucking cute. Just, God. Tough. Do you want to keep going to no clicking, or should we go back to clicking?
Oh, we can go back to clicking. Sorry.
All right. This is the story that's I didn't click on it at first, but I keep seeing things about it, so I clicked on it today. Those three Chief fans that were just found dead, like, in that guy's backyard, like,
what can
frozen.
You tell me about this? Because I did not click on this.
So it's a weird situation anyways. This guy, whoever owns the house, is trying to say he just no involvement. He said he slept for 2 days not knowing that his three friends were dead, frozen in the backyard. Slept for 2 days.
Are they coming down off some drugs or something? Or
so this, I think this person that they interviewed was his cousin. I could be totally butchering that, but that's just besides the point. People call him the chemist. He is a HIV scientist, but they call him the chemist because he is known for mixing drugs and, like, however you want to feel at this time, like, he's gonna, like, mix something up for you to make you feel that way. So whoever they interviewed said that they think that this is what happened, is that they were just all doing drugs and he, you know, fucks probably something fentanyl, mixed something weird, and these guys just, like, partied and died in his backyard, frozen to death.
Jesus Christ.
Like, hey, Shining, can you imagine just, like, rolling up on somebody's yard and finding three frozen bodies? Do you remember the movie Vertical Limit?
With Chris O'Donnell?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, I know that. I knew the movie, but no.
Mm-mm. Anyways, that's really it for right now. But I finally have started clicking on it. And this is so bizarre. That's it.
So I like how the headlines really try to do a grab, though. Like, three Chiefs fans found dead. Like, that's, like, that's very, like much
Taylor
a stretch.
Swift killed them or something. Oh,
right.
Exactly.
Taylor Swift's boyfriend who's on the Chiefs. I don't know.
Yeah. So I clicked on it. I'm gonna follow this. I feel like in a couple years this is gonna be a Netflix
It's amazing.
Series or something. So I'm gonna keep my ear to the ground on this one.
Nice.
I was really interested, and I have no idea why, but Darius Rucker, Hootie, was arrested in drug possession. I only clicked on this because I just wanted to see that it was weed. But in this article, after paragraphs of reading, unknown drugs, or, like, it hasn't been released what kind of drugs he was busted with.
They gotcha.
Exactly. I can't imagine it was anything crazy.
No.
Darius Rucker, you know.
Right.
Let her cry. Anyways.
That's good.
Thank you. What are some things that you're clicking on?
I was really obsessed with Demi Moore's press looks for The Feud.
I don't
she just
want
looks
to talk
great.
About algorithms again.
She just looks great. I saw a big thing on Lainey Gossip today. She had a link to Heartthrob Rob and his Never Been Kissed thing.
I tagged you in that on Instagram.
Yeah, I had already looked at it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I've never seen that movie. Have you?
Fuck yeah, I've seen that movie. I referenced that movie.
It looks fucking terrible.
That's why when I say, come get your wieners, and nobody has any idea what I'm talking about, that's the movie it's from.
Oh, did he go over that? I didn't even watch the full thing, but did he say that in his clip?
No, he didn't say the come get your wieners part, but it was such a fun clip to watch. I highly recommend people who are above the age of, I don't know, 35, go follow Heartthrob Rob and just go find the recap of Never Been Kissed. It's so fucking funny.
Or any recap he does, because they are all just fire.
Lit snaps. Yeah, but I thought that one in particular was so fucking funny because it just, yeah.
His Coyote Ugly one was really funny.
Yeah.
Like, I just really...
Save the Last Dance.
Oh, God.
Forget what other one he's done recently. But...
These 90 movies, man.
Love it.
But I thought that was real, like, good for him to get on Lainey Gossip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Did you ever see the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Fuck no, I didn't see that movie. Team Aniston.
I didn't either. They made a remake that's being released on Amazon Prime today with Donald Glover and Maya Erskine. I don't know who that is. So the other one was made in like 2005, which was a remake of like a 1940s one, I guess, but that's beside the point. The Brad and Angie one made $487 million. Worldwide.
Devil's advocate. Would it have made that much money had the Brad, Jen, Angie triangle not have been?
I have no idea. Probably not.
That's just my thought.
I mean, yeah, crazy. That's really all I'm clicking on right now.
Are you going to watch the one on Amazon?
No.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I just thought it was like interesting that I have heard zero about it. Sorry, I should have elaborated more. I've heard nothing about this and all of a sudden it's being released. And why do we need this?
I have Donald Glover. I feel like was on this trajectory because he had that show on FX.
Atlanta.
Yeah, which could still be going on. I watched it for a couple episodes, but I just feel like he was everywhere all at once for a while. And yeah, I don't think a Mr. and Mrs. Smith remake is really how you're going to stay relevant. And to answer your other question, nobody needs this remake. I'm going to be completely honest. Nobody needs any more remakes of movies. Hey, people, start coming out with original content. Boom.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then one more thing I'm not clicking on. You know my thoughts on Heidi Klum. I can't stand her. I can't. She was on Call Her Daddy this week.
Oh,
and I didn't listen. The end. I just can't stand her. I roll my eyes when I have to see it on social media. And I love Call Her Daddy.
You know, and I don't like love Heidi Klum anymore. I really, when she was the host of Project Runway, I really liked her. What has she done since? I don't really know. I would not listen to that episode either. Something else though that I'm not clicking on, Northwest anything. Why is she everywhere? She is 12.
Dude, get used to it.
I can't. I don't think, I'm not going to say anything else mean, but like, I never will I click on anything about her. I don't care about what her fucking reviews are of the makeup or watching her color on her face. I just don't get it. Another thing I'm not clicking on, Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion beef.
Right.
I just don't care.
Yeah.
So.
I'm hearing she, oh, I think I must have saw this on another podcast, the Chicks in the Office podcast or something. They went, I think they deep dove into it a bit and they, it sounds interesting. Like I might have to like do some research on it.
All right. Well, you do that and get back to me and let okay. me know if I should start clicking on it.
Okay.
Okay. I've got a lot of podcast stuff to talk about.
Okay. Let's talk about VPR and the Sandoval podcast on Nick Viall.
Okay.
Okay.
So Tom Sandoval, which means obviously Tom Shorts as well, was on Nick Viall's podcast this past Monday. And before this episode was released, I feel like I was seeing a lot of things about it. Like, oh my God. Before they went on Special Forces, Nick said a lot of shit about Sandoval.
Mm-hmm.
True stuff. Like, just, you know, was basically speaking the truth. And so now when he announced that Sandoval was going to be on, there's a lot of comments. I'm like, oh my God, you better not go easy on him. Oh, what are you guys friends now? And you're just going to like, you know, kind of like a softball interview, if you will. It was not a softball interview.
Mm-hmm.
Sandoval was like 45 minutes late to this interview. And something I really appreciated with Nick Viall is that they didn't just like pick up recording when he got there. They just went with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cringy. I had to take a lot of breaks during this podcast because I just could not believe what I was hearing. You know, this person fucking throughout our relationship talked to me like I was down here all the fucking time. And like the references of Raquel in her whipped cream bikini, which I loved like 2 minutes later that he had to be like, you know, like from Varsity Blues. Thanks. I feel like that interview could be a great drinking game for every time he says like, you would be dead in 2 minutes.
Well, I agreed, but I say like a lot, so I get it. It's a good transition word.
But he is not using it as a transition word. He is using it every other word, just like trying to formulate. It's almost
Raquel. when he's sitting there and asks a question and he says like,
you know, like.
Yeah. I get it.
He really loved Ariana. He really fucking did. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I instigated the happiness in that relationship always. Fuck you, Tom Sandoval.
Yeah, he did not do himself any favors.
And I tagged Katie Maloney in this comment because I was proud of it. But the part that really got me in the beginning, fucking Schwartz. When he, because, you know, Katie and Dana have the podcast on Nick's little umbrella network. And started talking about like how negative Katie is basically, and fucking thumbs up for Nick Viall for like sticking up for her. Like, I don't see that. Like, I know she's opinionated and shares her views or whatever the case was, but fuck these two Toms.
Call me negative all day long. I would rather be negative than just completely fucking oblivious and dumbfounded by life like Tom Schwartz is in this interview.
Loser.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It was a dumpster fire of like bullshit spewing out of both of their mouths, and it's embarrassing for Tom Schwartz. It's not even embarrassing for Sandoval as it is just like, yeah, this about sounds right. Like what you're talking about, the way you're saying things, the gaslighting. I hate the word gaslighting. And he is just like the epitome of that's what he was doing.
You and I have talked about this for years about not really understanding what gaslighting is, because I feel like most people don't use it in the right way. But this, like, he is gaslighting.
Yeah.
This is, if you ever need to reference what it is or how it's at this, that is it.
He's taking what he's done to her, flipping it around and placing the blame on her and victimizing himself. Relationships are hard. Okay. 8-year relationships are hard, or 9 years or whatever. So like, you know, it's not always going to be like the best, but he has like cheated on her throughout these 9 years. I mean, he can sit there and say, and I'm not just talking about Raquel, we're Miami Girl,
yeah,
another
fucking
unnamed
Billie
woman,
Lee.
Sure, allegedly Billie Lee. So I don't know. This, I thought Nick did a good job. I thought Natalie did a good job.
Fuck yeah.
And it was interesting to hear their takes today on like when they were kind of recapping the episode.
I loved it. I did listen to the fucking Tom Sandoval podcast this week.
Gross.
I know. I am doing this for you guys, okay? And him and Schwartz were saying the first episode was hard because it's kicking up all this stuff again. This show is not kicking up all this stuff again. It's you and like all of the horse shit that comes out of your mouth. Tom Schwartz said something like, no one is like looking in the rearview mirror anymore. Well, like some people are. And Tom made this comment on Nick's podcast too about how he just wants Ariana to just move on, leave him in the past, not think about it anymore. Hey, Tom Sandoval, when you're doing this Nick Viall podcast, Ariana's opening up on Broadway.
Correct.
She's doing just fucking fine. And like, I don't ever hear her talk about him.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she'll mention it if she's asked.
Right.
But I don't have to listen to her week after week after week bring up this shit.
And he does on his podcast, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I told you that I was going to unfollow the Raquel podcast, which I did, but I felt like I had to do my due diligence. So I went and listened to the last two episodes.
Ew.
I know. Can I give some highlights from that or do you want to
give
more comments? Okay. So she does talk about Sheena and said that Sheena did not put me up in her apartment for free. She paid discounted rent. And then she made the comment about, I wasn't living rent free, but it seems like I'm living rent free in Sheena's mind. And she said it basically in that same monotone voice.
Was she making a joke or something?
I think so.
Oh, but it's just so terrible.
It's just so weird because the only other person on that podcast with her is the producer who is now just seeming, it's kind of like her Schwartz, mm-hmm. is just there to like agree with everything and like pump her up and whatever. The part that I was trying to find for you yesterday of where it was just so cringe. So she was talking about how she learned this in therapy and like she realized that her inner child chose Tom. And then she said, my inner child chose Tom, this 40-year-old? No. Oh my God, I have to get this right. No, honey. You know, like that. It was so cringy. And even me saying that out loud makes me want to like bang my head against the wall. She compared Sandoval to James. She called him James 2.0. And she won't allow that in her relationships. She said producers made her tell Lala the line when they were leaving that house in Lake Havasu when she said, and Lala, you're just jealous because Oliver chose me. She said producers made her say that, otherwise they weren't going to let her leave. She made fun of James and Allie's house. She said that he is just using Allie to keep this dream going. So basically, she's just saying James has just replaced her with Allie, and this house was their dream, and he's just like, whatever. Saying he hasn't changed. She doesn't like people talking about her mental health, but, you know, she went on to talk about James and his alcohol or his issues are just not alcohol related. It was just amazing. I don't even really have any other words about it.
Yeah, I can't be bothered. And it's interesting because Alex Baskin was on Sheena's podcast mm-hmm. last week. And then he was on Lala's this week. And I don't remember which one he said it on. Sheena said, do you think Raquel would come back? She didn't come back in this season. Do you think she'd come back in season 12? And he's like, nope. Like, she is burning so many bridges right now if she ever wants to, like, go back or whatever.
And yeah, I listened to that episode. And yes. So it was even funnier to me when her producer buddy was asking her when she, because now she's basically just going to start recapping Vanderpump.
Yeah.
So she was talking about the episode and the girl asked her about Lala's message to her and they were talking about that. And Raquel just said, you know, it really says a lot that she did that on camera. So it wasn't genuine. And she said that she thinks the producers made Lala make that phone call, write the message, whatever, as a ploy to try to get Raquel to come back on the show. Because at that time, they were just trying everything they can to like leave the openings for her to come back in the show and just try to get her back.
Mm.
And I also can't remember if it was Sheena or Lala who and what podcast he said this on, but like the way that she's trying to put these producers like in this light where they're forcing her to say things, they're forcing her into these situations. And like Sheena and Lala have both like shut that shit down. So this is why I don't believe anything she says anymore. Like, I think we talked about this last week, like about the James and the dog situation. Like, I just don't believe anything she says anymore because she has now taken her platform as a way to tell her story. And it's just going out of control now.
She's blaming all of her stuff on the mental health
yes.
stuff. But yet she is completely like placing blame on that everybody else is to blame too. It's yes. just, yeah.
So, I mean, my advice, hey, you know, Raquel and Tom Sandoval, if you're listening to this podcast, just shut the fuck up. Move on to something else. Hey, Raquel, start talking about mental health and a new project you're working on. Like, they both need to just stop because I feel like the hole that they're digging for themselves is just getting deeper and deeper and deeper.
Mm-hmm. So that said, we got a new episode of Vanderpump Rules, the season premiere. I had like not low expectations, but I just feel like it kind of always starts out like very just even keeled or whatever. I liked the episode. I feel like I need to watch it one more time, but I really liked it overall.
Yeah. I formulate my thoughts. I did like it. It was, there were a lot of comments on social media about, oh my God, how are we still talking about this? Again, I have to remember this as well. This was shot in June, right? So like 2 months after Scandoval.
Yeah, like I think it said 3 months after or whatever.
So we're going to see a lot about Scandoval. Like it's just going to be how it is. And like, I need to get that in my brain. And so does everybody else. But yeah, I think it's going to be a good season. Lala's phone call, message, whatever, did not bother me. I appreciated that on Watch What Happens Live, she said that she regretted it 100%, seeing how Raquel acted after she got into treatment. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, I don't know why it annoyed me. That really actually seemed to me like very producer driven. Like some highlights for me were like when Sheena was talking about how she was blocked from Tom Sandoval and he's blocked her Instagram and he blocked Summer Moon's Instagram. And she's like, I mean, how could you do that? How could you block that cute face? And like, it's just such a mom thing to say. And it's really cute.
Her daughter is just super fucking
cute. Oh my gosh. So cute. I love James and Ellie's house. And I really liked how they kept showing the airplanes flying over.
I thought it was funny. But the fact, I mean, and Rachel said this on her pod. And I think somebody else on the episode said it, like making fun of them for living where they live. James just needs a break. You know?
Oh, for sure. I thoroughly enjoyed him. And like, best friend Katie texts as well. Like, she's starting to like James. Like, I think he's doing great and he looks great and he's not drinking again. And I enjoyed him and Schwartz's dinner. I enjoyed Schwartz in this episode. You know, that said, after like saying all this stuff while he was on Nick Viall's podcast, I liked him and Katie when they were at the apartment and he was showing her the bugs. Like, it's just cute. And I wish they would show more of that kind of stuff.
He is just, like, mentally a 13-year-old.
For sure. And then, like, what really got me was when they were at Tom Tom and they did the flashbacks of Ariana and Tom's moments in Tom Tom. And I'm like, oh, that's, like, real gut-wrenching. So.
Yeah. But I'm glad that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of people say stuff about Ariana and how she met, I can never think of his name. Dan. 10 days after this happened, and how could she have even loved Tom if she could move on that quickly? Which I'm not even gonna touch that because that's just asinine to say. But I love that they showed that conversation that they had on the phone, and I love that she had that moment at Tom Tom because at some point she's gotta feel the emotions still or like release the ghost, right? Mm-hmm. So it was good to see. It was sad, but like, I don't want to say I enjoyed it, but you know what I mean? Like, it was a good scene, and it was just cute how everybody was around her. And it's really, so I just started season 3 of Vanderpump again.
Wow.
So this is right when Tom and Ariana start dating. I just watched the reunion of season 2 when he says the things about Kristen that he's now saying about Ariana, whatever. But so cute. Like, they were so cute in the beginning. So, yeah tough.
Sandoval was not in the episode because he was filming Special Forces. And then they showed him getting back at the very end. And I'm like, wow, I didn't miss him during the episode, like, at all. Well, I mean, they did have a lot of flashbacks, so I guess I didn't really have a chance to miss him. But
he said on his podcast that when they're at the premiere party or whatever and watching this with the audience, that when they were talking about his penis flute, he was getting really pissed off because that is really meaningful to him. And it's hand, it was handmade. And just,
oh, my God. Poor guy. I mean, is he gonna be okay?
Man, I can't.
Assistant just quit, I think. Yes. So.
I am very interested to hear about this. Yeah. I just saw the headline. I didn't click on it. I should have put that in my not clickables, but just the bitch I don't work on Saturdays about. I don't know if that was towards Raquel or towards him or Ariana or just kind of as a whole, but it was pretty fucking funny.
So yeah, I'm excited to have it back. Just felt very happy watching it. And what was interesting is I watched it the next day and I didn't see a lot of press about it. Like, I was like, oh, I got to avoid the headlines. Same. And I didn't really have to avoid the headlines because there weren't any. Yeah. So.
The reunion, season 10 reunion, was obviously on right before that aired. So I watched like the last like 15 minutes of that and oof.
Right.
Anything else you want to touch on Vanderpump?
No.
I have to say one thing. I listened to the Dana and Katie podcast this week and Dana was talking about how she is just, I forget, like, so sick of something, because she was like, you know, when I start to like something, just like a song, if I like it, I listen to it 50 times. Right. And if I find something that I like food-wise, I eat it over and over. Because right now she's obsessed with acai bowls. Same, Dana. Same.
Yeah. I've always been a music repeater.
Yeah. But, you know, loved it.
Should we talk about American Nightmare?
Yeah. Before that, I have to add in one thing because I don't remember who said it on their pod. But if I have to hear one more person say Delulu instead of delusional, I'm going to lose my mind.
Mm.
It is the equivalent of when normal people say, let's go. You're not Tom Brady. I don't know who started the Delulu thing, but it's stupid. Stop it.
I feel like the word of the moment is unhinged as well. And I said it last, like the other week about Jax. And now I hear it everywhere. I'm not saying I started the unhinged movement, but I can't unhear it now. It's everywhere.
We did have like 3,000 new listeners last week. So maybe one of them just picked it up and maybe it was Jax.
To the 3,000 listeners, please start liking our social media.
Thanks. We're trying really hard with
this. I know. We try, but then we don't try. So.
All right. American Nightmare. Let's go.
Oh my gosh.
I did say this on Instagram, but I want, you know, you had mentioned like how I had watched the first episode and how it was possible that I didn't pay attention, but I wasn't paying attention at all.
Yeah.
But then I watched it and then I was, and I thought to myself, how the fuck did I scroll through this? So anyways, continue.
So it's a 3-episode series. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have watched it by now.
Oh, we're spoiling it. So if you haven't watched it, stop listening.
Oh yeah. But I'm just saying like,
yeah,
and I don't need to like do a heavy recap or anything, but yeah. Like it's, can you imagine like, she gets kidnapped in the middle of the night. Police are like blaming the boyfriend. I mean,
when I watched the first episode, I didn't know anything about this. I don't remember hearing about it. I don't remember seeing the Gone Girl headlines, anything like that. I honestly thought he was lying, the boyfriend, because I mean, I know we're many years removed, but it was just unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, so basically she gets taken in the middle of the night and he gets like zip tied and then sedated. And then they like leave him on the couch and they like leave him a note or like instructions to like check his email. Don't go to the police. So he ends up going to the police, but it's 11 or 12 hours later. And the police are like, why didn't you call us sooner? And turns out like he wasn't lying. Then the next episode is her saying exactly what happened. She gets held in a trunk, taken to a cabin, and like trigger warning for some, but like gets sexually assaulted, not once, but twice. And then it turns out she gets released. The cops are saying it's all a hoax.
Because she gets dropped off at like her family's house, like her dad's house or something. Just like from the camera, it looks like she's just kind of like nonchalantly
strolling up,
walking up like, what's up, dad? You know?
And then the third episode is saying how it was all put back together. Like for some reason, this guy who took her was getting upset that the media was blaming her. And so he emailed this guy who's like a reporter or a podcaster or something. And he's like, I'm going to do this again. And he did. And he left his cell phone on the counter because he ended up not being able to take the girl. And they traced him to this cabin and they find these goggles in the trunk. I mean, there's so much more that goes into this, but this is like a nutshell. They find
the goggle with the one strand of blonde hair.
And thank goodness for this woman cop who wouldn't rest until she found out who this blonde hair belonged to. And meanwhile, she's discovering all this other... these other attempted assaults and peeping Tom shit that this guy was doing.
I don't know that I've ever watched anything like this that's actually happened. It seemed like we were watching something from a movie. I still, like, Kristen was home by herself a couple days this week, couldn't sleep because we're all now afraid that somebody in a fucking scuba suit is going to show up at our house and, like, steal us in the middle of the night. Never buy NyQuil again. It is just unbelievable. I can't even think of another word to say about it. But yeah. This fucking lady cop, what a badass. I can't believe she is not like famous. I can't believe she didn't get a bunch of awards. I can't believe those other fucking cops still have a goddamn job. I was talking with Kate, one of our listeners. She messaged me saying like she had a home invasion in 2014 and like the cops just really didn't do anything. And, you know, so this like related with her. And you and I have a hard relationship, or not hard relationship, but it's hard to talk about like police and like say negative things about police for us. Our dad was a cop. But like, I think this happens so often. And when it's just so crazy that when the light gets shed on this, you see those cops just trying to like do everything they can to blame the boyfriend, not doing their job by looking at anybody else, and nothing happens. And it's so frustrating the amount of ways that this happens, but it leaves you like speechless.
So the most frustrating part for me was when they were saying the instructions were left and this guy was supposed to keep his phone on. the police turned his phone on airplane mode, and the guy did reach out twice. It was a traceable call to within 8 miles of where this cabin was. And if the cops would have followed up, she wouldn't have been assaulted the second time. Or, you know, if they would have gotten there, like, she could have maybe avoided that. And it just seems like such a surreal situation. And I'm so glad, like, believe the woman, okay? Let's all believe the woman. I know, sure, maybe there's 0.0003% that it could be a lie. We're banking on those odds? We're banking on those fucking odds. I don't know.
I saw something, and it was something about how I'm always going to believe the victim. Even if they're lying, I would rather put my trust in a victim than in a potential rapist or something like that. And you can say this about any situation that is like coming, that comes to the law. If it's stealing, if it's what, like whatever, you can say, well, they might be lying. Sure. But fuck off.
Yeah. And I can't believe they only got $2.1 million in their defamation suit. That's not a lot of money. And it's especially not a lot of money in California.
And then, like, the sad part was, is the other women that this happened to, where there was zero anything, you know, are you sure you didn't dream this? Are, like,
right.
Holy shit. How their lives, I can't even imagine how much something like this fucks you up. Where you have somebody break into your house, tell you that they are going to rape you, you beg them not to, and then they're like, oh yeah, okay, and they leave. Yeah. So how do those women not get anything? Are they compensated somehow? Like, are they all right? I wish we would have had a little bit more follow-up with them, because how many years, like, they've been sitting in just, like,
purgatory disbelief. With this, yeah.
Just... Did you watch that Netflix movie? Fuck, I can't remember what it was called. I think it was called, like, Believe or Unbelieve or something, but it was about the girl who gets sexually assaulted. Okay, like, this is exactly the same thing, basically. And, yeah, what a fucked up show.
It was really interesting.
Not even a show. Fuck up. Whatever.
And they are married now, which I was so happy to see them still together. And I was hoping for that, like, since episode two. I'm like, I hope they're still together. And they have two kids. And, you know, it's good for them to get their story out, because we're all kind of enthralled with it now.
Yeah. And I have so many questions about the girlfriend or the ex-girlfriend, Andrea.
Yeah.
Who ended up
dating that FBI. Like, she had was an ex of the FBI guy or something.
And how the guy who, like, said, like, I'm so sorry this is happening to you, this was meant for Andrea.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know more about that.
Right.
Like,
was that real? Yeah.
Because, I mean, this guy is in prison, right? So maybe he'll start talking or something. I don't know. But, and what a normal looking dude. I don't even know what I mean by that. But just, you know, Harvard grad. Law.
Yeah. Ex-Marine, Harvard Law School.
Pretty well off.
Interesting.
Like, a decent looking human being. Seems like he could just have, like, a normal life. And
sick in the head.
What? Oh, my God.
Anyways, let's move on. That's nothing I want to talk about anymore. It's just kind of upsetting.
Beef.
You started it?
We watched the first episode. And
beef.
It is weird. The first episode, I don't even know how to describe the first episode. It's like, it seemingly is leading me to believe that a road rage incident is going to set the tone for the rest of this show. And I don't know how I feel about it. Mark was, like, not into watching another episode of it. Maybe I will. I don't know.
Interesting.
But I laughed a lot. I think that girl is hilarious.
Ali Wong.
I love her glasses. But this is the humor that I think you and I find entertaining. So I think, okay, I'm going to change it. I'm going to watch it more. But I hope it goes in a little bit different of direction. There you go.
Got it. I knocked out in 2.5 days the Paris Hilton memoir at work. I listened to it, and I'm not a huge memoir fan, nor am I'm pretty indifferent to Paris Hilton.
I'm pretty sure you said during the Britney memoir that you didn't think that there was a celebrity where you'd really read a memoir.
Yeah, I don't know what prompted me to do this. I was just desperate for some content, and something I was listening to brought up those, like, fucked up psychiatric schools that she was sent to. So then I'm like, you know what? This is free. I'll give it a listen. And it was enthralling and really, really good. And she's really quite savvy. I mean, she had a ghostwriter for this, obviously. Not obviously, but, like, it was well written. And I'm not saying she can't write well, but I think it's really hard to write a book.
Yeah.
For anybody. So I learned a lot. Super fucked up. Speaking of, like, when she got sent to these schools, this psychiatric fucking thing that was sold as a school to her parents. She was ripped out of her bed in the middle of the night by two men and, like, hand clasped over her mouth. Like, she thought she was going to get raped. I mean, she was assaulted physically and sexually, like, in this treatment facility. She tried to escape, like, 5 times, and she did escape. And the stories of her escaping are fucking riveting. I mean, she's just like led this life, like the sex tape. You know, she's led a life.
And it's interesting, you know, we grew up where we were old enough in the early 2000s where we remember Paris Hilton and like hanging out with Britney and Lindsay Lohan and Nicole Richie and like all of that kind of swirling around.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, I mean, we live in a completely different time now, but to have us be able to go back and just like see what she has been through is like eye-opening, and it makes you feel bad isn't the right word, but it does make you feel like, holy shit, like the amount of stuff that this girl has gone through, and like all of these people, you know, everybody goes through their own shit, but I don't know. And just the way that they are portrayed in the, or were portrayed in the media. And now everybody's like, oh my God, that's so sad. It is so sad. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that.
But she kind of finishes the memoir talking about other instances, like South Park episodes, for example, that had her, like, I don't remember the specific with her, but they also had an episode of with Selena Gomez where the guy is like, I just want to take her into a room and just beat the shit out of her. And like, he does, and everybody cheers, and then he's like, take her away. Like, it's just the way that young women were treated, especially back then, it's pretty gut-wrenching. It's like,
yeah,
not a good look at all. So
you wonder why Britney is so messed up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
But I recommend it. I hope you listen to it. I hope you give it a listen, Brie, and the people out there.
Yeah.
I know you're out there, somewhere out there.
What else am I watching? I did see that And Just Like That was delayed till 2025.
Oh.
It doesn't really have anything to do with what I'm watching, but I have it in here for some reason. This is, like, why? This is kind of like Euphoria at this point where, you know, just, it's fine.
Bit ado.
There's one other show that I was just going to say. Oh, I saw Elizabeth Moss was on Jimmy Fallon. She's pregnant.
I know, I saw that.
So cute. But I, like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I'm like, well, this doesn't bode well for him.
Maybe they can write it into the storyline.
I mean, for the love of God, can we just finish that show? That's it. I have some random news. You ready? Do you have anything else you're watching?
I don't.
My random news for the week is that I found my old iPod Shuffle. You know, the teeny tiny little square thing. Mark and I and AD had just like this hoot of a weekend where we were sending music back and forth to each other, pretending we were on like a radio station. It was ridiculous. But here's a few finds of my iPod Shuffle. 2 + 2 = 5. Radiohead.
On my current playlist.
Completely forgot about that song.
Great song.
Lookbook.
Currently also on my playlist. On
all
Spotify.
Of my Me and My Arrow songs, which,
ooh,
I can't get anymore.
I know.
Because why would you be able to get any of those?
Can you burn those on a CD for me, please?
Dude,
thanks.
The amount of time I spent trying to get that fucking music off of that shuffle onto my Mac, I don't know how to do it. And it's really frustrating. I watch YouTube. Ugh.
Did you restart your computer? I'm just kidding.
Did you unplug it and plug it back in? Sprawl, Arcade Fire, you know, God. And then there's a couple of real Ashley Simpson bangers on there. Out of My Head. Out of my, get out of my head.
Ooh.
Terrible fucking song, but
yeah.
God damn it. And I will say I was hoping for a lot more fun surprises, but it was all music I still listen to. Matchbox 20, The Killers, Jimmy Eat World, and so on. So
got it.
It was hard to pull surprises out of there. So that's all I got.
That's awesome.
I'm gonna start using that thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Just clipping that little thing on.
I have mine too. I should roll up on them and see what's going on. Because they're just up in my desk. And I'm like,
I have an extra charger. I had to order a charger off Amazon.
Oh,
because fuck. It was weird. I was like, ask Mark. I'm like, do you have corded headphones? And our Bose headphones like come with that extension,
oh,
which
yeah.
is nice. But it felt really douchey isn't the right word. But I felt weird. Having
yeah.
a cord connected.
Things you don't even think about.
So, yeah.
I know. The shuffle is what when we used to ride the subway, that's what I would listen to. And you can't choose your own song. You just have to, like, press forward or back.
Yeah, you just have to.
Hope a good one comes on.
But it did also force me to open iTunes for the first time in, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. So a lot of iTunes music that I paid for, actually. A lot of songs.
Oh, yeah. I should look at my iTunes.
Yeah. Those apparently just stay with you forever. So
they,
that's nice.
They do.
Yep.
I had a lot of iTunes music in NYC that was taken away from me.
It's the worst. I had to do the thing with, like, the deauthorizing all of the computers I had. So I don't know what got taken out, but I remember that, like...
It was a real dick move.
It was a real dick move.
Well, that's exciting. I like that you found this music.
Yeah. So, you know, things that I'm glad I didn't ever get rid of.
For sure.
So cool. Anything else you want to get in before we?
Nah.
All right. Well, everybody, as always, you know where to find us on Instagram, Salty Sisters Pod. We will be back with you next week. I can't wait to hear what else comes out with Taylor and Travis. Until then.
Recapping VPR episode 2. Catch up, people.
Yeah.
Watch, because we're going to be talking a lot about Vanderpump. Hopefully we'll have started the feud, the Swans or whatever.
Right.
And yeah.
And I feel like I have to keep listening to the Rachel podcast for content. Do you think I have to, or can I stop?
I implore you to stop and don't feel forced, because we don't need to hear her opinion. But if you want to, do it. But don't do it because you think you have to.
Okay, cool. I feel like, well, on that note, we'll be back with you next week. Bye.
Bye.